Welcome in. It's the Advent Health High Performance Podcast. Jake Chapman here with you. And my guest today is Dr. Harrison Humans. He is a board-certified non-surgical orthopedics and sports medicine specialist. And he's also the head primary care team physician for the Orlando Magic. And he joins me today. Doc, how are you? Thanks for jumping on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just wanted to learn a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about some of the new advances and, of course, the Advent Health Training Center. How'd you get into sports medicine, and just describe your path to where you are today, just as far as sports goes?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from South Carolina, was born and raised in Columbia. So my home away from home was right up there, Williams-Brice Stadium behind me. I always joke with people, I'm a Gamecock by birth first and education second. Yeah, I like
it. I got the shoe over here. So we're representing Ohio State and South Carolina. I love it.
That's right. That's awesome. So, you know, I was a trappy cross country guy coming along and decided I wanted to learn more about how the human body works, and went into exercise science for undergrad and loved it. Went into medicine thinking I was actually going to do orthopedic surgery, and got into med school, went down to Charleston, South Carolina for that. And, you know, loved the medicine part. I just didn't love the operating room. And so once I found out about primary care sports medicine, it was a real natural fit for me. So I stayed in Charleston, did a family medicine residency, and then did my sports medicine fellowship in Birmingham, Alabama at the American Sports Medicine Institute. So that was the last year. Actually, Dr. Andrews was still there pretty much full time when the Pensacola office was opening. So got to meet a lot of neat people there, really got my appetite built up for sports medicine, and did my first job for a couple of years in Baltimore, and then got the opportunity to move to Orlando. So I've been here since 2014, recently joined the practice with Advent Health and Rothman in that partnership. Now 3 years ago. So it's been a lot of quick growth, and really excited about it. It's been a lot of fun.
Just one more. So I'm going to guess you are, when we talk about South Carolina and your love for sports, I'm going to guess you're a football. You started along the lines of football.
Oh yeah. Well, love football. You know, that's why I say my home away from home. That's my happy place. Williams-Brice Stadium on a big game day. And that kind of Southeastern South Carolina low country, Charleston, Buford area, like those are my places I go to sort of have my time where I can unwind and enjoy myself.
I love it. What drew you to Orlando, and tell me about the Magic and how you've been involved and how you've been received in the organization, how much you enjoy it.
Yeah, I never saw Florida as a destination, honestly, but I had the opportunity to move here for a job. And man, it's worked out great. We live out in Winter Garden, and I've never been happier living somewhere. This particular position that I'm in has been really unique and kind of a blessing, honestly. As Rothman, which is based in Philadelphia, was opening a practice in Florida, partnering with Advent, and then there was some changeover from the medical staff with the Magic. It all kind of lined up where I get to serve a leadership role in all three. So work as the head primary care team physician for the team, but I'm also the medical director for primary care sports medicine for Rothman in Florida and the Central Florida Division of Advent Health. So as all of those three organizations were coming together, it was a unique opportunity to sort of help bridge all the different gaps, because, you know, there are ways that things have been done in certain places, and then some fresh ideas that are coming from other groups, and those have to kind of mesh together. So it's been a fun way to get a whole bunch of people together and really start working as a team and building into a new a relationship. So as far as the team goes, I've loved it. So I'm in season two now, and I've been very well received. You know, the front office is great. The changes that have happened, I kind of came in at the same time as Luke O, who's an orthopedic surgeon. So he and I are working really closely together. Arnie Kander, I know you did the podcast with before, and listened to that. So that was great insight into Arnie too early on. So it's been a really good season so far, and we're enjoying ourselves.
Have you found that, because it sounds like, because Dr. O had a similar experience, it sounds like you guys all kind of got in on the ground floor and you guys are all sort of building something together. And I know it's come sort of sequentially. Arnie came over the summer, but is that revitalizing that you're kind of building something and starting sort of at the same place as Dr. O and as Arnie? It sort of feels like you guys all have fresh outlooks.
Yeah, I think so. And the cool thing is that we've all got different experiences from different places.
Yep.
So when you bring all the different backgrounds together, it really makes for some good collaboration. But I do think that everybody kind of being in the same place with the team at the same time has been valuable. And there's been enough consistency too. And I know Arnie mentioned the quality of the performance staff and you know, everyone there had predated me from that standpoint. So kind of knowing the players, knowing some history of the team and the place, that's been helpful too, so that you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it almost mirrors the team. We've got draft picks from a couple of years that are all kind of finding their way together. That's interesting. Tell me about the building, that Advent Health Training Center. Obviously, it's a game changer. What has it meant for you specifically, just being able to go above and beyond?
Yeah, the building is fantastic. I think from the team standpoint, they really have just every resource they could need. And I mean, the locker room, the training room, the pool, the outdoor space, the practice courts. I mean, they've got everything that they could possibly want. And the coolest part is the family room where everybody eats lunch together. And so you've got a lot of, I think the reason I do what I do is relationships and getting to know people and you know, in medicine, you sort of help people through hard times. And I think that really adds some depth to that relationship and a hurry in some cases. But on the medical side of the building too, from an Advent Health perspective, we've got Primary Care Plus, which is a primary care office. We have the Roth Orthopedic Space, the Imaging Center, has, you know, top-notch MRI, ultrasound, this stand-up CT scanner, so you can get weight-bearing pictures, which is important for an athlete, right? It's one thing to look at a foot when they're laying down, but when they stand and move.
Sure.
What like their physical therapy, the therapy gym there is outstanding. So, you know, the ability during what I call the day job, right, where I'm seeing patients and having the patients in our community be able to come in and get seen at a location of that quality, but also the nights, weekends, and holidays job, as I refer to it, because that's when sports happens. You know, being able to be there at the same time as the team, they can get imaging done right away just by walking through a door in their own facility. I can run over there if I need to see somebody in the training room quickly, and it helps at times too where there's more volume. So the pre-draft process where we might be doing physicals on guys and around the time of you know, the trade deadline or things like that, just having that access to the team and the team being able to have access to us and the resources they need is really important. So the building itself, you know, I always say the building's kind of just the walls, right? But the people in it kind of make the difference. And that's what Dr. Osbar, who works with us too, one of our sports surgeons, loves to say. So I'll borrow that from him. But it really does make a difference when you're in a facility that's got all the different resources that you need for a professional team.
What type of athletes typically walk into your office? Because I think we have this image that it's all professional athletes, but then you've got the weekend warriors as well. But then even the idea of weekend warrior feels like that's a little, you know, that might narrow it down a little bit too much. I mean, you're talking about literally everybody, right?
Yeah, it's literally everybody. I mean, we have, you know, young kids that fall off their bike and then break their wrist. We've got the high school age athletes coming through, collegiate athletes, and a lot of it is seasonal, frankly. It's always interesting. You know, you get Thanksgiving break or the holiday break, and then you see all the college kids coming back into town and get a chance to take a look at whatever they've got going on.
Right.
But we have some programs too built out, you know, for runners. We have a golf medicine program. So there are different sort of ways that we can plug people into performance services or physical therapy if they need that. But, you know, we see our grandmas and grandpas who, you know, fall down and break a shoulder or have knee arthritis and the weekend warriors and everybody in between. So it's not even that we just see athletes, but we see everybody who's active and trying to get back to their normal daily function if they have something bothering them.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit misunderstood. People assume that you need to be, I don't know, playing high level basketball or playing, any sort of a sport. The idea of orthopedics and of medicine in general within that building, it can be as simple as, an elderly person just needing help to walk again, let alone being a weekend warrior and going out playing flag football or whatever like that. That's kind of interesting, though. I mean, it's because of the level of care and the level of technology in that building that it might be sort of intimidating to just an average person.
Yeah, and I've had friends and neighbors actually say that to me, and I'm like, no, I mean, we want to provide that level of service to every patient that we see,
yeah,
regardless of what their goals are. You know, I mean, the professional athlete is trying to maximize performance at every single part of their game every single day, but that doesn't mean that everybody else isn't trying to maximize their performance and whatever else they're doing too. And so, we want to have that collaboration between physicians and therapists and athletic trainers to help manage, every level athlete and every patient who might have an injury.
And to be clear, I mean, it is the exact same level of care and access and technology that you're using for the Orlando Magic players that you're using for anybody who walks in there.
Same MRI machine, same CT scanner. You might be, laying on an MRI right after a Magic player, right before him. You'd never know, but it's the same place. Yep.
Can I get an autographed X-ray? Is that in the cards?
Your burnt CD and then a little signature on it.
I wanted to ask you about the whole athlete care model and what exactly that means and how does that apply to your treatment of Magic players?
Yeah, I think, athletes are people, and I always disagree a little bit when people say they're just like us, because, man, they are built different.
The ones I've seen.
What's that?
I said not the ones I've seen and covered. I've been doing this a long time.
I read a blog article one time that really it struck me, and I took care of Orlando City Soccer for about six seasons when they were getting into MLS, and there was a guy that said that. I was like, I've always said athletes are just like us, they're just people. And then he was walking down the hallway and he passed Breck Shea, and he was like, that guy's not the same as me in terms of the build, and they move differently, but at the same time, they've got their job, and their job is to perform on the court, but they've got everything else going on in life that all the rest of us have. And so, it's really important that we help them to the extent that we can and maximize performance, but that includes everything. I mean, that's sleep, that's mental health, that's physical health, making sure that the diet's where it needs to be. And I even love some of those things, like the way the building is built. First thing they see, they park, they come up the stairs of the elevator, and then there's the nutrition bar. So from the moment they walk in the door, it's taking care of that nutrition part. Then they kind of go into the locker room. And I know I've already mentioned this, but as they go into training, whether it's to the gym or to the court, the different movement pattern things that they have to work through just to make sure that they're getting the body prepped in the right way for the type of work they need. But, we have to look at the whole athlete. And in a lot of cases, all athletes' family and help with everything that they've got going on to try to do our part for the team to be successful.
Yeah, I think that's especially as for somebody who does what you do as a primary care physician. Have you found that you need to be up on everything? Like psychology, for instance, is such a bedside manner. We were joking about it before we went on the air. But it's such an important aspect to all of this is just the mental approach, especially if you're talking about rehabbing an injury or something like that. But a lot of times I would assume people walk into your office and they're scared or discouraged, and there has to be an aspect of that as you're dealing with patients that I'm sure isn't your specialty. Doctors have specialties, but you have to be up on it, and you have to be, I think, aware of all of those things probably in order to do your job well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we meet people a lot of times at when they're not feeling their best, obviously.
Right.
And so being able to establish rapport and establish trust quickly. In the case of a regular clinic visit, is important. You know, when you take care of a team too, that's where you have to get to know your athletes, and you want to know them and have that trust built before there's an injury, because right. You know, certainly that's going to be a hard time for them, and you have to kind of help them through it, and you just don't want to be a stranger in that type of environment, obviously. But you know, we talk a lot about ability, availability, and affability, the three A's, right? So in sports medicine, you have to be good at what you do. You have to pick up the phone if somebody calls, but you have to be likable too, because if you're not likable, then nobody wants to have you around the locker room or the training room. So it's important to be able to, you know, talk to people in a way that's going to help comfort them in a time where they're probably uncomfortable, both physically and emotionally and mentally. So it's sometimes easier than others, but a skill set we have to develop as well.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. It's not, you know, I think people assume doctors are sort of very specifically specialized and sort of pour into that field, but you do. You have to be a little bit more outward, especially when you're talking about sort of these high-level, quote-unquote, clients as your patients when you're talking about Magic players. And yes, you're right. I mean, I would think, have you found that athletes are more skeptical now than maybe they were when you started? Is it sometimes more difficult, not specifically talking about Magic players, but you know, there's such a larger it feels like there's a larger field of voices and people for a professional athlete these days. It's probably harder for them to find people they trust because they're getting hit on all sides with so many different voices.
Yeah, I think that's probably true societally, right?
Yeah.
We're all so stimulated, and there's information, you know, whether it's social media or it's TV or it's radio or podcasts, and so we have information coming at us all the time, and sometimes you have to pick which information you want to focus on.
Right.
I do think that you know, by the time people get to a professional sports level in particular, they have interacted with a lot of people, and they have to figure out who their team is going to be, that's going to help them make the right decisions for themselves. And that can be a challenge. Just like all of us trying to work through, you know, interacting with teammates, right? And so I think that's where they are. We do have to help them along the way sometimes to try to figure out which information they're getting is appropriate or not. But again, that's where trust comes in, because doctors disagree on things sometimes too, in terms of, well, how they interpret an MRI image, or you know, how they want to counsel someone on when to play or not to play. And there's so much that goes into those decisions that you have to be able to have a frank conversation sometimes with people. But it, you know, it's part of the art of it. And I think that, to me, is when I think of the specialty of sports medicine, is how do we interact with those athletes and how do we help them make the best decision they can for themselves to move forward with their game.
We touched on this just a little bit, but it's exciting that you provide the same care to both professional athletes like the Magic and then to athletes across Central Florida. How do you take what you learn from treating elite athletes and then apply it to benefit the greater community?
Yeah, well, I think the blessing of being at a professional sports level is you're just surrounded by so much talent and so much knowledge. And so, you know, physicians are all, we call ourselves lifelong learners, and we have to be, and we're held accountable to that to stay up to date. But in the sports environment, you know, I'm trying to learn everything I can from a physical therapist or an athletic trainer, you know, going to conferences and hearing the latest and greatest in terms of treatment options. But, you know, being able to kind of learn in that environment with the top level people, you then take that knowledge and apply it out into the community, it can be pretty powerful, right? And it's a multiplier when you can take a small group like the Magic, you know, relatively small number of players, but then you take that out into your public school you're taking care of on Friday nights, and that's hundreds of athletes potentially. If you're teaching that one athletic trainer something that they can use to help. So, you know, that to me is where I want to make my mark. And I think, you know, we're all trying to is to, we obviously want to succeed at the professional level, but we want to positively affect our community as well.
Is that something that you'd like to expand into? I guess that's kind of what all doctors do. Eventually you end up being a teacher and teaching other doctors. I mean, that's just sort of the path, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to me, I see that on two fronts. I mean, we do quite a bit of education. We just matched four fellows for a new primary care sports medicine fellowship that we're going to start in the summer. So they'll be here in July. So I'll be the program director for that, which is, it's really exciting. I mean, it's rewarding too when you have former fellows that you see at meetings and you get to catch up with them, but it builds a network. I mean, if you spend a year next to somebody and teaching them and learning from them and they go move somewhere and you need to send somebody to see somebody in that area, then you've got a great phone call to make. And we have an orthopedic residency program that's going to be, once it grows into its full complement in 5 years, you know, be the largest in Central Florida. So we're proud of that. But also to me, I think what I really appreciate about sports medicine in general is I'm passionate about it, but I get to teach patients. Patient education to me is one of the most valuable things we do. And I remember in family medicine residency, we'd have people come in and they tell you they're taking a little, you know, pink pill or yellow pill. And I was like, okay, what's it for? Like, I don't know. My doctor told me to take it. And I would think to myself, like, well, you know, I want you to know why you're doing what you're doing. And so, you know, when we go into med school, the first things they teach us are gross anatomy and a foreign language. And they really have us focus on that foreign language and how to communicate in a medical way. But if we're not able to translate that back and we lose that ability to speak to our patients in a way that makes sense to them, then we've kind of lost the game there. So patient education to me, helping them understand what's going on with them and then why we're recommending is the most important thing that we do throughout the day, I think.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, you know, I go back to just, I mean, you guys are, doctors are such authorities to so many people. And sometimes it's just this, that's what Dr. Newman told me to do. it's very cut and dry for some people. I'm the opposite. I need to know everything. I'm a part to whole learner, and I want to know every last bit of it, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and that everybody's different. And so, you know, that's one of the things we learn on the education front, right? Is like how to teach different people depending on their learning style. And, you know, in a 15 minute visit, sometimes you have to try to pick that up really quickly,
right. And
figure out how to get something across to somebody the best way for them. But that's the fun part too. And especially with athletes, right? When we're taking them from injured, the rewarding part is seeing them get back to where they want to be. But making sure they understand why. And then a lot of times what I tell patients is, you know, we want to get you back to where you were, but where you were, you got hurt. So I actually want to get you better than where you were so that next time you're in that position, you know, hopefully your body will be able to accommodate well enough that you don't get injured again.
Real quick, because I was thinking about it before when we were talking about athletes being different. When I was a, it used to be called intern, when I was a graduate associate, back in 2006-07, I'll never forget seeing Yao Ming for the first time. Because, I mean, he was 7'5" and his head looked like a television monitor back in the day, not one of those flat screen ones. And so I do wonder, I mean, it's obviously the human body. It's all somewhat the same. But there has to, I mean, it when you're talking about Jonathan Isaac, 6'10", and the way that some of these guys are able to jump and move, it has to be sometimes like dealing with a completely different species. I mean, most people look like me at 5'9", 5'10", or whatever. And then it's just everything is, I mean, it's gotta be pretty unique to apply something for a 7'5" guy to somebody who looks like me.
Yeah. Well, and I think what we have to be aware of is every sport is different. And the movement patterns required for that sport are different in every position. And each sport is different. And so a lot of this has to be customized in a way to, you know, what we want that athlete to be able to accomplish on the court or on the field. But, you know, to the point of different sizes, I mean, they have a good example, I suppose, is the NBA has a cardiac screening program. So every player gets evaluated in terms of EKG and echocardiograms. Well, you know, the chamber size of a heart of an NBA player is larger than the chamber size of a heart of mine. So the normative data can be different. Some of it's the same. A lab value is a lab value, your cholesterol is your cholesterol, but we have to also take some of those things in terms of what a performance metric might look like, or what a normal value, especially for size of different things might be in those athletes.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. And then, yeah, I would think, like, how else does it change? Can you just elaborate on that a little bit? Just some of the other differences, like recovery time. I mean, I guess you create a baseline for what, you know, optimal performance is for each athlete. But is it a drastic change if a 25-year-old who's 7 foot and a 25-year-old who's 5'10" tear an ACL? Would the recovery time be that much different?
Well, probably not. But I think what I probably look at more is what's their demand, right? So if I tear my ACL, well, I mean, you know, I can still go to work and walk around clinic and talk to people and do what I need to do. You know, if you have a soccer player, you're trying to get them to 90 consecutive minutes on the field of continuous cut, plant, pivot. If it's a basketball player, it's a harder surface, right? They're on wood now, not on grass, and they've got a cut, plant, pivot too, but they have minutes and they can kind of build in minute restrictions with more substitutions. If you're playing football, it's 6 to 8 seconds for most plays, and then you get a break. And so, you know, really kind of working backwards, I think, from the goal of, you know, what is the demand of the sport? What's the demand of the position? And then how do we get them there? And obviously that's going to be the neuromuscular control, the brain to muscle connection. You know, is the muscle firing appropriately? Are there other things above or below? So you mentioned an ACL. Are the glutes activating properly? Is the back or core where it needs to be? Is there a problem with how the foot or ankle are moving, you know, and not supporting the knee correctly? Those are all things during that rehab process that you want to evaluate. And the phrase kinetic chain gets used a lot, but it's really true. If there's a weak link along the way, you know, it will affect everything else above or below it. And so, you know, the time may not be that much different, but your time may be affected by what demand you're trying to put on that particular body part.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's interesting. It's kind of a strange, simple question, but a very fascinating answer to hear you describe it with such ease. Last thing, Doc, and I appreciate you taking the time. Advent Health, obviously, it's known for encouraging patients to feel whole. What makes you feel whole?
Oh, man. You know, for me, doing what I do, I get to build relationships with a lot of people, and I kind of describe it as that multiple families, right? So I might have my high school football family, and we, you know, we interact with WWE, we interact with Cirque du Soleil, and, you know, you get to know all the people and the training staff there. So it feels like lots of families that I get to spend time with throughout my week and month to month. But also, I got, you know, I love sports. And so the idea for me that I get to go and watch athletes perform at the highest level is from courtside and be a part of the team is great. So, you know, building those relationships, being a part of the team, watching people perform at the highest level is really what motivates me to do what I do. You know, the other part is I'm getting to the point now, I have three daughters that are 8, 6, and 4 at the moment. And honestly, one of the coolest things about the NBA for me in these couple of years that I've been doing it is my wife can pack up all three girls and bring them to the game, and they can kind of be in the little walkway in the tunnel. So I get to see them at halftime and bring them into it. So we talk a lot about work-life balance, and in a job like sports medicine, I think work-life integration is really probably a more appropriate term. And when we can kind of bring our families into it and be able to make them a part of it, it really makes the sacrifice of the time worth it. So, but that's what I get out of it. I get fulfillment from helping people achieve what they're trying to achieve, being part of a team, and then building those relationships over time.
You don't have time to coach, right? I mean, you've got way too much going on to be coaching.
Man, Not yet. We'll have to see. But it's funny. I always joke with people. I spend so much time watching other people work out that I try to struggle to find the time to do it myself. So I got the bike right here, like ready to go whenever I got a couple free minutes. But I imagine there are probably people out there to coach that'll do a better job than I would at it. But I'll certainly be there to support any way I can.
Then there you go. And as long as you're a lifelong learner, then you'll be able to glean some aspects from coaches along the way. Just the last thing, because it strikes me, you know, between the Orlando Magic, you mentioned WWE. We're here in Central Florida. There are so many, you know, UCF. There are so many groups and just high level professional athletes or, you know, amateur athletes. It seems so collaborative when you talk about Arnie and you talk about Rothman and you talk about the Magic organization and Advent. Do you have to streamline the information at some point? Is it difficult with so much going on, or do you find it no matter what a strength that you just have so many different resources to draw from?
Yeah, I mean it can get challenging sometimes to balance all of it because we're doing a lot. And all of it's fun, but you know, I describe sports medicine as a team sport. You know, we all have different strengths and weaknesses, and when you put them all together, we're able to kind of fill in the gaps and really work as a team. But listen, I couldn't do what I do without a bunch of people supporting me too. I'm one of seven, you know, non-surgical sports docs in our group. We have five orthopedic sports medicine surgeons in our group at this point. I have some right-hand people with me in clinic that are helping me, you know, keep everything straight when I need that help. And then from the, you know, every individual team, has their own staff that's there. But the most important part is communication. I mean, we have to just be in touch all the time. And my car is kind of where I get a lot of that work done. It's the quietest place that I go when it's just me. So make a lot of phone calls and just make sure we're always keeping in touch with all the athletic trainers and performance staff and keeping up to date on how everybody's doing. But that's the fun of it, right? Again, just staying connected with everybody and hearing the progression of each individual athlete and how that's getting the team back to whole and getting that person back to doing what they love to do.
Yeah. And I think it's obviously more important in a field like yours where new technology, new studies, new information coming out literally every second. You want to make sure that you have as many voices that you trust to be able to pull from. How would you say your title, Dr. Harrison Humans? Do you have a business card? It's got to be this big. I mean, they're so many different.
Yeah, they're a little bit on it. So, I'm just primary care sports medicine physician, first and foremost. That's what I do, you know, day to day. That for the community and people coming to see us, that's what I want them to know. Non-surgical orthopedics, I'll see anything that you got.
All right, there you go. Primary care sports medicine physician, Dr. Harrison Humans. Thank you so much, Doc. I really appreciate you taking the time. This has been a real treat. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jake. I appreciate you having me.
All right, absolutely. There he is, Dr. Harrison Humans, primary care team physician for the Orlando Magic. It's been another edition of the Advent Health High Performance Podcast. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.